April 29, 2021, JEDCO Executive Committee Meeting.
We do have a quorum.
You can make all the motions.
I have seven executive committee members. Jocelyn counts as one.
Oh, she's on.
She's on.
Okay, so we have one meeting. One, two. I was going to say, while the cat's away, the mouse.
Where is Jerry?
I'm not going to start this meeting until I say stop.
I'll share with you.
He's very important.
Jerry's speaking. Concentrate center.
Okay.
Education.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Morning.
I would like to call to order the JEDCO Executive Committee.
I'm a witness.
Mara Panetta. Stephen Robinson.
Here.
Jean Soss.
Here.
Floyd Simeon.
Hey, we also have a guest, Reed Smith.
We have another guest. Christopher Kane with Adams and Reese.
And Ryan Hyde is joining us.
Okay, thank you, Penny, and we'd like to start with a Pledge of Allegiance.
A Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And we do want to welcome those guests. Chris Kane from Adams and Reese, and Reed Smith from the Parish Attorney's Office. I'd like to have approval from the board for today's absences, which are Mayra Pineda and Larry Cass.
Move, Lori.
Second.
Thank you.
And Teresa, since we're talking about absences, I'll just mention why I'm sitting in this chair today and not Jerry. He was asked to be a keynote speaker, to give a keynote address to the Career Ready program of JP Schools. There are business and industry leaders in attendance at this event. And he's going to talk about, actually the school system will be unveiling some additional information about the Fast Forward program. If you remember, Dr. Monty Sullivan was at one of our board meetings earlier this year, and he spoke of that dual enrollment program that these kids can graduate from high school and actually also have an associate's degree. So it's really exciting, and there's much correlation to the Jefferson Edge 2025, because the Edge actually calls for the creation and expansion and implementation of such programs that prepare our kids for career as soon as they graduate. So that's where Jerry is today. Thanks, Teresa. I think you recommended for him to do that because of that very strong tie to the Jefferson Edge.
And it's within our goals, so that's awesome.
I'm really happy to get invited. I'd like to ask for approval of the board absences, and I did that already, so how about the minutes?
Motion.
So, Alicia and Jean Soss. All right. Any public comments on the agenda items? Any opposed? Moving forward. Motion carries. You see, I'm not really well when Jerry's not here. Not that I'm offended, Lindsay, but you know,
he normally coaches a little bit.
I was like, Teresa, tone
I'm
it
not
down.
Used to doing that.
You gotta coach me, because you tone it down, bring it back. I'm finished in new businesses. Discussion and take position on the legislation in the 2021 regular session. Lacey?
Okay, yes. So actually we have just one bill right now to present to you guys for action. I'll clearly state that motion in just a little bit, but this is House Bill 472. I believe you all, at least here, have a copy of that bill. It was introduced and co-authored by Representative Joe Marino and Senator Pat Connick, and it provides for JEDCO to receive a specialty license for the cultivation of medical marijuana. This is actually an EDGE 2025 implementation item, and it ties in greatly with the EDGE's focus on medical innovation and R&D research and development. And we're joined today by Chris Kane with Adams and Reese. He's assisted in drafting the legislation and is working to push that legislation in Baton Rouge for JEDCO. And what he'll do is provide you with an overview of the bill, what it does. Of course, answer any questions you might have, and also bring you up to speed on the various discussions that have been taking place so far this legislative session in Baton Rouge. So, Chris?
Thank you, and thank you for having me this morning. We are in the throes of session, so things are moving very rapidly, and things change literally by the minute, or by the dinner, really, is how it kind of works. We had a very productive week, but before I talk about where we are with this legislation, I think it'd be beneficial to you just to understand a little bit about the current structure of the state's medical marijuana program. Several years ago, when the state started seriously looking at implementing a medical marijuana program, late in the session, in an effort to accomplish two things, well, really three things. One, to provide a more direct benefit to the state, to provide more oversight, and to promote R&D, the state legislature required that the specialty license that was going to be allowed be let through LSU and through Southern. So right now, under the current law, there is one license holder, and leave it to Louisiana to allow for one license holder to be a co-licensor. So you have Southern and LSU who actually have only one license. Underneath both of them, they've set up programs through their respective universities and partnered with a grower each, and are working on providing through then enabling legislation patient-related prescriptions through another whole regulatory system for dispensaries, and that program is I would say very early in its infancy in terms of getting to the marketplace. The R&D side of it obviously is a function of primarily LSU, but also Southern as well. So your strategic plan identified this as an opportunity, and based on where really the market is, it seems to be very ripe. For example, over the last 3 years, the state has continued to expand the permissible use of medical marijuana as doctors, physicians have gotten engaged in the process. Patients' demand has increased, and so now it's a fairly accessible program, except for one thing: there's not a lot of supply. So the LSU is working very hard. We are not trying to compete with LSU. We're not trying to compete with Southern. There's plenty of supply need on the patient side, and there's tremendous need on the R&D side of the equation. So right now, about I think it's the last study showed about 20 to 25,000 patients could be supplied under the current supply model, when the legislation provides for up to 200,000 eligible patients in the program. There's a lot of need there on that side. On the R&D side, it's really limited to LSU and to Southern and to any efforts that they may make. And so that kind of blocks out some other universities, some teaching institutions that provide an opportunity, and that's kind of where we saw that from a strategic planning standpoint, where this enabling legislation and allowing for the specialty license to come down to JEDCO and allow them to partner and use this really from Jerry's perspective as an incentive to promote R&D growth particularly and service a patient need. So that's kind of the basics of it, and the license you've explained the legislation is very simple. It adds, as it is drafted right now, it would add JEDCO to be a allowed specialty license holder, similar to what LSU and Southern are. As you can imagine, we have gotten a lot of questions. The number one question has not been, no, we don't want expansion. If you've been following this legislative process so far, it's actually very surprising in terms of how far the legislature has gone in terms of being more open to expansion. There's been no discussions or no involvement on our end relative to the recreational side, but just to give you an idea of where the mind of the legislature is, the Criminal Justice Committee passed recreational. It really was a decriminalization bill, but in essence, a recreation bill is what they have defined it as. 7-5 out of a fairly conservative committee, which was a little bit of a surprise. The medical component has continued to expand and has a better likelihood of expanding this legislative session. And so we've been obviously monitoring and following that. Our bill, we've been kind of asked by the chairman to sit tight for a moment, because the LSU grower and the Southern grower, who have been very invested in this program, have had a legislative strategic plan in place for this legislative session. Namely, they have what's called a flower bill, which allows for the prescription of smokable medical marijuana. That bill passed out of Health and Welfare last Thursday, 14-1. Which was substantial. I thought it was going to be closer. If you would have looked 2 years ago when they were talking about inhalant, there was a lot of opposition, particularly from the sheriffs and the DAs. That's waned considerably. There's more fresh data in terms of polling data that's come out that showed this. It was, I think, a March 28th poll. Or when it was released, 92% of Louisianians polled were not against medical marijuana. Only 8% were against. Now, there's a group in there that want more information really to take a position, so it's kind of a little bit of manipulation of a number. But that number, compared to 2017, has shifted from close to 50% now up to 92%. So there's a significant trend. And the thought in talking to the pollsters and trying to understand why this kind of change has happened, it's a lot of it has to do with people knowing someone who has become a patient with the need and seeing the effects, the beneficial effects of it. The problem that we have is from a country standpoint, we are very, very far behind the rest of the world in terms of R&D, research and development relative to the benefits of medical marijuana. That's why the R&D piece is really kind of critical. And the opportunity to come in at this stage of the game, if we were able to be successful, is we would be only the second license holder. At some point in time, this is going to open up rather significantly if you just follow the trend in terms of where the state legislature is going. So trying to get in early, that's a little bit of the reason why we thought it made sense to push this legislation in this session versus wait to develop a more detailed component plan and partnership plan on the front end. Instead, we would want to do that in conjunction with having the ability, the right to do it, and kind of the cart before the horse scenario, right? So we pause our legislation in terms of not having it heard in committee. The committee that we would be assigned, that we are assigned to, is Health and Welfare. Chairman Bagley is the chairman of that committee. I mentioned they've been favorable on expansion of medical marijuana in this session. We met with the chairman on Tuesday. I'm losing track of the days of the week, but we met with him on Tuesday, and he was iffy at best in terms of wanting to move our legislation forward. We had a lot of convincing to do, and his issue, understandably, is, look, we just passed this legislation a couple years ago. These folks have spent the money, invested, they're getting up and running. The flower component is going to decrease their their cost of production and allow them to mature their own investments. And he was worried about that impact. So we came up with he also was concerned that the number one question I was saying earlier, the number one question we get is either who is JETCO or why JETCO? They're not, you know, why are they getting into this? And so, you know, we've got a really good one pager together explaining the, you know, the level of oversight and protections in place that the organization has, the successes it's had, and how this really fits into the facilitator role that JETCO's mission is driven around. Once we get off of that question, the questions are concerning are how we're going to impact the current market, how are universities going to be involved, and how can we protect against those issues. So what we told the chairman at our dinner and trying to convince him to give our bill a hearing is we're willing to amend the bill to address all of those issues. If there's a concern or a desire to have the medical marijuana program coordinated and tied with a university, then in order for us to get our license, we'd be willing to have a partnership with a university. It's why JETCO, that's what your strategic plan calls for anyway. It's why you'd want to do the program. That made them feel more comfortable, or made the chairman feel more comfortable, and that's an easy fix to put into the legislation. The other component of it is that under the current law, if LSU wanted to, LSU and Southern could bring in 5 or 10 growers under their license as subcontractors. There's no limitation on the grower side, which is really where the investment mechanism initiates itself. Obviously, the competitors in this instance are concerned that JETCO get a license and bring in 5 growers and injure their business model. We said, look, that we would be fine with, in fact, why don't we change it to where LSU can only have 1 grower? We're happy to have, you know, only 1 grower. We're not looking to have multiple growers. If we have a bad grower and they don't do their job, then we cancel the contract. We don't need to have multiple growers. That made them more comfortable. The other component we discussed, it was pushing back or creating a date from when, on the patient side, on when, if we were to get a specialty license for JETCO, when JETCO's grower could put capacity into the supply chain. That would give the current growers enough time to harvest and get moving and set themselves up to be more economically feasible. And there's reasons why they've had problems, which their lessons learned we would not have. LSU saw this as I was being candidly here, they saw it as a money grab in terms of revenue in to bring in a first grower, and basically create a very, very large concession for LSU, which was a lot of cash up front, and it took a lot of time for these folks to recoup their investment at some of the struggles that we've had with the program. It's not really the growers' fault at all, just the model that they've used that you would want to avoid down the road. That's a couple steps ahead, but just to understand kind of how that played out. So, you know, Jerry and I had talked about it, said, well, even if this were to pass tomorrow and the governor signed it into law the next day, you're still talking about a significant window for planning, for public bid process, getting it, you know, getting everything done correctly. You're talking 12 or 18 months anyway. So we offer, well, what about 18 months? You know, have a start date of January 1st, 2023. And Chairman Bagley said, I don't think we need to wait that long. I think 12 months is fine, which made me think to myself, this is not a real hurdle. We can overcome that. And so we left the dinner positive. The chairman wanted to talk to the speaker. When you deal with LSU and you're dealing with the lobbyists who represent the LSU's grower, you know, we're dealing with some folks who are very much in the game in Baton Rouge every day. And so they want these issues addressed in order for us to move forward. A lot of times these sorts of bills take a couple of years to get moved through. We've been kind of pleased with the reception we've gotten, and hopefully we'll have a hearing date on either May 11th or May 12th is what it looks like it'll be calendar for. We'll kind of need it that week because session ends in the second week of June. So in order to make it through the process, that's kind of, we're getting back to the back end of our window. By that point in time, the flower bill will have been out. It's going to be out of the house this week. And so that'll clear the house and kind of, we won't have that concern in the house, and we'll be trailing behind and far enough in the Senate to not get in the way of that bill, which was a priority to the House leadership, in particular the Speaker and the Speaker Pro Tem and the Speaker Pro Tem's bill. So with that, the only other thing I'll mention in the discussions we've had, and these all have been non-public discussions in terms of behind the scenes, I think the measure which Jerry was wanting to take today is to get the approval to talk publicly and formally support the measure and be a witness at the hearing, assuming we move forward. But we've done a lot of behind the scenes legwork too. We've had several formal meetings with Xavier, who their Department of Pharmacy is very interested in partnering in this program. We've also had conversations that were probably more informal with some folks at Tulane. We've spoken to Oshner, LCMC, and a number of other folks. That when we started talking to legislators, we even got interest in the only state school of pharmacy, University of Louisiana, Monroe, who said, look, we would love, how unique would it be for Northeast Louisiana to partner with Southeast Louisiana on something. Hmm. Now, that was the chairman of Health and Welfare in the Senate who was proposing that, who lives in that area. But it makes a lot of sense, and you know, from a pharmaceutical standpoint, and from JEDCO's standpoint, the preference would be not to lock us in with one university, but allow us to partner with any Louisiana State public or private university. So we've had substantive conversations on that front. I think I've covered everything I planned to in terms of the big picture. I mentioned this is a very fluid. Very fluid process, and as things develop, it's 1 minute you think your bill might be dead, and the next minute you think that you're going to pass out of committee with flying colors. It's a very up and down process, but that's how it's done. And so with that, I'll answer any questions. Or
I want you to, if you will, give a gist of what the flower beer bill is, please.
Sure. So with the flower bill, they call it the flower bill. So right now, under current law, all of the medical marijuana enabling legislation requires for the grower to extract the THC out of the flower and put it into a form of a gummy, like an edible, or drops, which is the more popular for prescriptions right now, is a drop, or an inhalant, like an inhaler, like you would see for an asthma patient, right? What the flower does is it reduces the requirement or strikes the requirement that it has to be one of these three forms, and adds another legal form in terms of literally just the flower. So you procure the flower, and that would become then what would be prescribed to patients.
So that the use of the marijuana has already been determined, it's going to be drops, one, and you have a pill. What's the third?
So you have edible, pill,
edible.
Drops, pill, and inhalant right now that are permissible methods of delivery.
And we use the cigarette.
And you can't right now. Right now that's not permitted.
Okay.
In the testimony, the reason for, because I would have thought, I mean, sitting there watching this, we were observing it, I would have thought the Lung Cancer Association people would have come out against it, but there's not supporting medical evidence on that. And what other states have seen, and the reason why it's popular, is those other delivery methods are very expensive. And the quality of the health benefit that's received from the smokable form is equivalent to the other extracted forms, and it's significantly cheaper. That's the and you also reduce your time in terms of production, because you can get it to the market quicker. That's the testimony that you know,
okay.
that we had heard.
Thank you.
That was my question about why smoking and that it has to be a money thing.
Cheaper.
Yeah. I still can't believe the lung, you know, putting that into your lungs would be no damage.
I'm not saying it's not. I just, right. the testimony that we heard on it and, you know, and look, it still got to go through the House and through the Senate and we'll see what happens with it. But what I'm telling you, there was no opposition.
Wow.
There was like three opposition cards. I don't even think anybody testified against the bill mm-hmm. in the committee, which shocked me.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. But maybe the opposition, a lot of times if something gets out of committee, the opposition shows up, you know, later in the game. So it could very well happen.
Well, I can say from a family member with epilepsy that this has been beneficial. A significant improvement on the quality of life. So it could be a good use.
Yeah.
That was just a comment.
I have a comment and a question. First, a comment that the way the state originally approached it, we weren't at this board part of any of the process originally, but the way the state approached this as sort of an anointing of one entity creating sort of from a business perspective a monopoly philosophically is not something that I personally agree with or am in favor of. That's not the way a lot of other states approached this market. It should be a market, and in most other places there are lots of small businesses that start and people, you know, create careers and jobs and other things. Economic activity happens around this industry. That's not going to happen here because of the way the state chose to approach it. So with that, I'm really in favor of what's going on now, because it seems like at least getting another license into the mix, it creates a little more of a market, and every crack that you can make in that sort of locked up system would be a benefit from an economic development standpoint and from a market standpoint, in my opinion. My question is, as it relates to the other aspects besides growing of this industry, which include processing, retailing, and there's another small business sector for the tests, in other words, testing labs in lots of other states. There's a whole, you go to Texas, and in the hemp industry, they have 20 testing labs and lots of small businesses. In Louisiana, the hemp legislation requires that all the tests have to go to LSU, another state legislative created monopoly, and therefore the suppression of small business. Are you aware of bills, or in this process, are there efforts being made to open up the markets in these other avenues? I know that Senator Connick, who I recently spoke to about this issue, is looking at or open for at least the retail licenses, which were originally limited to one per district and something like 9 across the state, he's hoping that's going to open up. But again, you know, a system where politically connected insiders in Louisiana a lot of the time are the ones who get awarded these licenses, as opposed to you know, creative students that are graduating from one of our local universities who know how to do it and maybe could do it better or cheaper than somebody who sort of got political connections to be awarded a license. It's two different scenarios. And like I said, most other states haven't done it the way Louisiana's approaching it. Has this kind of discussion been part of what's going on?
Yeah, so to be clear, no other state has done it the way that we've done it, which is unfortunately something we hear all too often. And not only that, but now our neighboring states are standing up programs that are going to be designed more to a free market component, particularly Arkansas and Mississippi. Texas is having a little bit of a struggle, but you know, they've got like 2 million patients that are going to be knocking down the doors very soon. So let me answer your question slash comment in two ways. number one, Senator Connick was very involved in shifting the legislation to put LSU kind of in the middle, in the mix. And he did it not to create a monopoly. The monopoly was going to be created, but it was going to be created through a system that was going to be an RFP process that was going to look very, very similar to the way casino licenses were done, which almost everybody involved in that process at some point in time got indicted or went to jail, right? It was a bad process. I mean, there's no, and we're still kind of living that down. So to his credit, he thought, you know, if we can kind of have this intermediary in the mix, we can this thing could evolve. So when we went to Senator Connick and sort of talked to him about this bill, he's very supportive of it. We talked at length about the other issues that you discussed. From a bill passing perspective, this is something that's probably going to take several sessions, right, in terms of getting the market to change and open up. We did not want to be, there's several changes you could do. Number one, we need more dispensaries. You need more supply to feed the more dispensaries, but there are parts of the state where someone who has been prescribed medical marijuana has to drive 3 hours, 3.5 hours to go pick up a prescription. That's not right. It doesn't service anyone. And so we need more, we definitely need more dispensaries. And in talking to, as we've gone through this process and trying to work with the other growers and parties of interest, they've got plans and whether they are able to amend something this session to increase the dispensaries or not will have to be seen. But they definitely have a strategy already in place. And if we were successful in this effort, obviously we would have time next session to come back and push for those sorts of tweaks that would be best for for the program, how JEDCO wants to participate in the program. There are a lot of models have, and I'm not suggesting that Jerry has Jerry's not indicated to me one way or another whether or not this would be of interest, but there are most models, the grower has the ability to also to test. They have the ability to dispense/retail. Dispensaries use more in relationship to the pharmaceutical world and retail is more common in the recreation world, and that creates all kinds of political issues. We've been very focused on the R&D and the medical component of it. But it would make sense that there would be a point of dispensary where it's being grown and tested. But again, I think it's the monopoly component of it was a screw up and how they did it. The dispensary component of it and limitation of that was a function of getting the prior state legislative body, which looks a lot different than the current state legislative body, feeding them to the appetite that they could tolerate to get it passed. And so I think we'll continue to see tweaks. We've heard of tweaks. Right now, the regulator is Commissioner Strain, Department of Agriculture. Most states, you don't see this in the Department of Ag. You would see it either related to DHH or some sort of hospital component or physician-driven component. Some states it's actually moved to commerce boards, which is a kind of unique concept too. Those are all things being discussed, but what we've tried to do for HB 472 and particularly for this licensure effort is just to focus on keep being in the game first, right? We need a uniform and a baseball bat to be able to play, and so that's kind of been our focus.
I appreciate that. It's definitely a process in Louisiana. It's likely to be a longer process than in other places. One more comment just about testing, because it applies not only to marijuana, but also to hemp. But if you think about the concept of somebody in the business of growing and then processing and then retailing, doing their own tests, that's kind of like the fox in the hen house a little bit. And it's a little bit more, as JEDCO considers, that we might be a grower. realize that right now the other license in the state is LSU. And the legislation also sets up that LSU is the only one that can test. And if we're the only other license and we have to submit our tests to our, what is, like or not, to some extent a competitor, that doesn't feel comfortable in terms of
that's a good point.
That person is going to be testing our product for approval as to whether we can go to market or not. Even just a delay of how long it takes a test can affect the success of our program potentially. I would suggest that without necessarily creating a monopoly, or if you create a monopoly for something, that person ought to be independent and clean from other market forces.
That's a great point. I'll make a note of that for sure.
Very good point.
That is a great point. Yeah, because we're never going to succeed, you know, what that's going to be.
Okay. Thank you. Lacey?
Okay. So the motion that we're asking you all to consider is to allow JEDCO via the president and CEO to take a position and speak in support of House Bill 472 and to authorize the president and CEO to agree to amendments that he deems beneficial to the passage of this legislation.
I just want to make one more comment. I'll make a motion because I'm in favor of just go ahead and taking the next step, which is we're just today deciding to make public our support of this going forward for JEDCO. And my concern is not the validity of the underlying science or whether this is going to happen eventually or whatever else, is just a little bit of the political backlash that is, regardless of what's happened in Baton Rouge, 14-1 and 7-5, and these things may be getting more favor in the legislature. I don't know that necessarily is the same thing of the general population. You know, that's not necessarily, you know, JEDCO typically does things of an economic development standpoint that when we do them and promote that we did them, it's hard to find anybody who would be against what we did at all. We were like a 99%. Yeah, well, that sounds like a good thing. To me, this is an outlier in my tenure on the board for something that, and the most controversial thing I can think of was maybe, geez, should we be, helping doing this Avondale thing, right? But even there, I can't find anybody who would say that was a bad thing. I think everybody on the board, and Jerry in particular, and I've had side conversations with him about this, ought to be a little prepared that there's more like 60% of the population in favor of this, not 99. And you're going to have potentially up to 40%, and some of them are vocal. Newell Norman has been perennially historically vocal by being against this. Now, I haven't heard the current sheriff having that same public opinion, but Newell Norman has a radio show right now, and it's the kind of thing that, as JEDCO goes into the public with, this is what we're trying to accomplish. I would just suggest to, and I've already suggested to Jerry, but just let the board know as sort of my thoughts on this. Is this something we ought to be prepared for in a little different way? Because I can imagine him having guests on his show and advising the whole community about what's going on with this. And we should probably be prepared with, how we would react to some negative of that nature. But with that being said, I would move that we approve the motion being that we support the bill that is before us and allow Jerry to speak publicly of his support.
Thank you, Michael.
I'll second. Should I repeat? Right. And I want to just make sure that in the motion we're including Jerry's ability to agree to amendments that he deems beneficial to the passage of the legislation.
Yes.
Jane, second. Okay. I do have a, I see the both sides. I do, and I definitely not naive enough to think that there's not going to be an opposition. But I want to think of us as being progressive in our economic approach. So I think that because of the history that we have. We have such a firm standing and such a strong brand that it will be a little challenging, but I also think that we've done so much in the past to create wealth. I think this is another opportunity, and the people that are really in tune with what we do economically certainly can see that. I think that the opposition is going to be from the uneducated that has been swayed by one, you know, opinion and not doing enough research about it. And I think that it is our diligence to educate, you know.
One more comment. This is a discussion.
Gene had a second.
And this is more for the people. This is my last year on the board, so I'll be rolling off at the end of this year. It's for the people who are newer to the board, will be here longer. I think that there's going to be, assume that we're successful with this and this passes, and in a year to a year and a half, we're coming to market, et cetera. And who knows what happens between now and then in terms of how many licenses, more licenses get issued. Does the market really open up, which honestly I'm in favor of more of that. That if we do this, you obviously want it to be successful. You don't want to be associated with a failure, of particularly an economic development type failure. And just be aware that in the markets around the country where it's totally a free market, it's a tough business, and tons of growers go out of business because it's really hard. There's lots of competition, and it's a difficult business. It's market-driven. The hemp business, which I'm a little familiar with because I'm involved with a client related to it, you know, the price went from $200 a pound to $5 a pound in one season because of the competition. There's all kinds of people not planting it now, and growers in Colorado, you can go buy, if you want to be in the marijuana growing business, you can be in next week because there's lots of these places for sale in Colorado. They're just, it's really tough business. So just want to make that comment as we do it, that as Jedco does everything else, hopefully it's done well and successfully, because that's something that's going to take a lot of work.
I don't want to hold up your motion, but I'm just wondering, I always look at political aspects of things. What's the feeling of our council, parish council? Have they been approached about our wanting to go into this? Because I'm wondering, there's seven voters over, seven member board, I think, and I just want to know how they feel.
Yeah, so we met with each council member and with the parish president, either myself or Jerry did, or actually I think Jerry did as well with everyone, and the EDGE plan went in front of them with unanimous support too. We also spoke to the sheriff. The sheriff's not gonna show up and put in a green card in support of it. But yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he voted favorably for it when he was a legislator, and he understands it. So we met with the coroner's office as well, a completely different thing we didn't talk about today. And you know, Dr. Satanovich may very well show up in support because he believes this is one of the significant tools to help crack the opioid epidemic, which is a significant. You're seeing significant impacts in other states where this is used for pain medication versus opioids. So and I should have mentioned that in my briefing. I mean, there's been a lot of effort spent on that level. Now, to your point, it doesn't mean you get a group of constituents who get fired up and start demanding answers from the council. That's a realistic component that's out there, but. There has been conversations and discussions and by and large support for this effort.
And MDs also.
What's that?
Medical doctors also.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Call for the question.
Penny, have we completed the voting on this item?
No.
Okay.
Just call for
the okay. So I have gotten a motion to accept from Michael. And Gene saw seconds. Are there any opposed? Motion passes.
All right, thank you. And I'll just take another couple of minutes. I won't keep you guys here much longer, but I did want to share a few spots of good news for you. And that is, one of the prospects that we've been working with for Avondale Marine has actually signed a lease, and which is awesome. This is an $80 million investment, 65 to 80 jobs, paying approximately $83,000 annually. So this is really great news. It's in the field of, it's similar to Fuji, actually Fuji oil. So it's refining oil, palm oil, and vegetable oil. And additionally, Avondale is one of two sites under consideration for a major automobile import facility. And I'm told that decision will be made pretty soon. So we're really, really hoping for a good announcement there. And then we will be meeting with Parish President Cynthia Lee Shang, Annalisa, myself, and Jerry next week. She had requested our assistance in prioritizing spending, federal funding spending of the $84 million in federal stimulus money that the parish is receiving. So we've taken a look at the edge. We've obviously are very much aware of major infrastructure projects that need to be addressed at some point. So, we're hoping that we can guide her to prioritize projects that are relevant to our edge and advance the strategies of the edge and will be catalytic in nature. Additionally, in this meeting, we'll be reviewing other strategies of the edge where the plan actually identifies the parish as taking the lead role in pursuing and advancing, and also others where the parish is a supporting role. And we're doing this with all of our partners that are currently named in the plan. And we're actually also presenting on the plan to interested groups. So we've done one, actually, it's Annalisa, because at the last minute, I lost the ability to get online and through the Zoom. It was the Race Equity Reconciliation Group of the Jefferson Community Foundation. And Annalisa did a wonderful job. That was definitely something that they were interested in, minority business support, how the edge, what the edge calls for in terms of strategies for minority business support and other areas. And then I think finally, sure, Jerry wanted me to mention this. This is where part of the reason he was in Baton Rouge yesterday. If you recall, we presented an item to you guys, to our board, to extend or amend the U.S. Foods pilot lease. And part of that amendment was to extend the term for a couple of years because of their delays in construction due to the historic levels of the Mississippi River and also COVID. Well, U.S. Foods had applied to the state to take advantage of a job tax credit program called the Enterprise Zone Program. But because they haven't been able to produce those jobs yet, and that's because of the delays in construction, they were asking the Board of Commerce and Industry to extend their application for another 2 years. Evidently, there's no precedent for this. The Board of Commerce and Industry has never extended the term for any reason of an enterprise zone application or I believe any application. So this required a lot of discussion that took up a lot of Jerry's time, but in the end, the Board of Commerce and Industry actually did approve their request. So it's the first ever extension granted by the Board of Commerce and Industry. So that's precedent setting, and it's really good news for U.S. Foods, who are serious about making that investment here and creating those jobs in Jefferson Parish. And on that note, that's about it for us, for me. Gosh, I just gave the, forgive me online too. This is why Jerry sits here and I go.
This is good. Good morning, everyone. Just briefly, I'll go over the report, financial report for March of 2021. We continue to get monthly installments of $200,000 for occupational license from Jefferson Parish. In the month of April, we did receive another $200,000, and we'll get the balance at the end of May for $1.3 million. The other servicing department fees collected for the month of March was $28,300. expenses listed here are the larger expenses for the month of March, which are dues and subscriptions, PR and advertisement, and accounting fees. That's just a partial payment regarding the 2020 financial report. Investment in the LAMP account at the end of March was $3.4 million. Under the edge, expenses were the large expenses were $22,000 plus, and that was related to the Tech Park implementation charges. Collection of revenues was nearly $6,000. The edge LAMP account balance at the end of March is $762,000. We completed and forwarded a copy of the JEDCO 2020 financial audit to Jefferson Parish by April 1st. And as the past Monday, the 2021 audit committee actually met with the auditors. We went over everything. They made a small presentation, and the audit committee is scheduled to make a presentation of their, a recommendation of their findings at the full board meeting next month in May. Any questions?
That's it. Very good. Thank you, Cynthia. So I'd take, I'd like to hear a motion to accept the monthly financial.
Tom.
Lish. Freeman. Second. Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. This has been a really cool, cool meeting. You know, and I don't mean it like because we talked about, you know what. Any other updates? And I think Lacey covered all that for us. This is really, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. And you know what? The cool thing about it is that we're in the know. So that's really huge. Anyway, I would like to ask for a motion to adjourn, Michael.
No.
Lloyd, second. Thank you so much.